Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the moms and to everyone who is the product of a mom. This is our day to celebrate as well. And we ought to celebrate with great sincerity, don't you think? I asked Diane to sing that song. It's a favorite for me. It's a favorite for me because it was a favorite for my mom. And I can remember when she called my attention to that song, sung by Louis Armstrong, and she was crying because it made her feel so drawn to another mom in our neighborhood that had just suddenly died. And, you know, Mom was a very, very godly woman, but she also really loved music, and she heard music as a celebration of who God is. So I like to go when I go shopping. I remember when my mom, I remember this happening, and then my mom kept on reminding me of the year that I forgot to get her a Mother's Day card, and so. Sometimes I hang out even with the crowds at Hallmark, and I look at cards, and I think not only about the mother of my children, of our children, but I also think about my mom. So I got her a card. My mom. It says, "Mom, you will always be the heart of our family, a family that admires you, appreciates you, and loves you very much." So happy Mother's Day, Mom. Then another one for my wife. I told her I'd give it to her later, but it's a little bit like the guys with the goggles. "To my wife on Mother's Day, you're a loving and warm-hearted mother. It is really a pleasure to see, and you've raised some incredibly wonderful children. I guess you're still working on me." So, don't judge her if it's not working from your perspective. Thanks to everyone who's been participating today. It's really a neat thing to be together. And I've got my sister, Lori, and her family. They're up in the balcony. Her husband, Rick, has been banished to the front row. Not sure what that's all about, but that's okay. I was thinking about this. Rick and Lori have spent a lot of time with our kids, and they're very... In some respects, they're so much closer age-wise, of course, to our kids, since Lori's 8 years younger than me, and her husband, Rick, has blessed our church. Now, Rick is an attorney, and he's our extension attorney in Minnesota, and we've got all sorts of attorneys, it seems like. Never anticipated that we would have this going on in our lives, but here we are, and as a result of kind of the relationship of our school, but Rick is representing us in a case with the U.S. Bank. We'll tell you more about this situation in a couple of weeks. We'll kind of update you on some things that are going on and try to involve you in the process as well. But Rick represents us in this case, and I really wanted Rick to be able to meet the elders to meet him face to face and hear from him this morning. So I appreciate them coming a little bit early today to connect with him. I want you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles. Now you've got notes, and I want to call your attention to this fact. By the way, the notes as you came in, they should look like this color. All right, whatever that is. I think that's green, right? I should get an A for that. This is a little disclaimer. As you open up the insides, you'll see that there I have 5 points with fill in blank. Just ignore the blanks, ignore the words that are the 5 points. I'm using the same text, but I decided to just, I'm just gonna, so go with me. If you're given to take notes, then that helps you stay focused. I think that's a great thing, and I'll try to be, the message will be a simple outline. And I just follow along. And then for our growth groups and for everyone else, on the back of the notes are 7 questions. And they're still based upon this text, but I want to encourage you to, these are for our growth groups. And the growth group leaders are on their own in figuring out how they'll steer their way through that. But I'm not following. And this is not Dennis's fault, this is mine, that I'm just changing the direction a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This Deuteronomy is the 5th book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I know the grandchildren can go all the way through, can't they? They've got all of the books of the Bible in order. And if you're still struggling with that, see our children's church workers and they will help you learn the books of the Bible in order. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is Deuteronomy is kind of a review of with the children of Israel about where they've been these past 40 years, and it's a reminder of the law of God and why the law is so important. I've been known to say to our lawyers, I really don't like the law, but I do like this law. Sometimes the law is kind of like a fist in your face if you're not interested in keeping it. But if you want your life and your business and your family to be guided by the relationship that comes with the law of God, then it's a really good thing. It's a wonderful thing, because the law of God is not just rules and regulations. It is a relationship with the King of the universe. Isn't that a great thing? It is like Paul calls it in the book of Galatians, it's called a schoolmaster telling us basically how we're doing in that relationship with the living God of the whole universe. But once again, if you're not interested in keeping it, it's not going to be such a fun thing. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. Just follow along as I read. I'm going to read from the New International Version. Moses writes these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Let me just read that again. "Hear, O Israel, hear the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you to the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land large and flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees that he has given to you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, that you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your sons ask you, what is the meaning of the stipulations and decrees and the laws that the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our very eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders and great and terrible things among Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us a land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all his law before the Lord our God, all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Father, for just the next few minutes, I pray that you would capture all of our attention. I pray that we would see these words as coming directly from you. Challenge our hearts. Encourage us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I read these verses, and I'm going to read verses 4-9 once again. As I read these verses, I am mindful of God's desire for extraordinary moms. His desire for extraordinary moms. Now, how can everybody be extraordinary? It's just when you think of a bell curve, you don't think of, you know, the whole bell curve is extraordinary. So who are these, at the peak of this bell curve? Who are the extraordinary moms? I'm blessed to have images in my mind as I read these words of some extraordinary moms. Extraordinary. The images I have of women who live these words in verses 4-9 are my mom, the jumping grandma, Crazy Mary. She was extraordinary. I have that image. She lived these words. I have a very godly wife who will celebrate our 49th anniversary this summer, and amazing, she's put up with me all these years. I have a very godly mother-in-law, and what a woman she was. Very, very extraordinary. I have some extraordinary, I have an extraordinary daughter and daughter-in-laws. every single one of them with unique personalities, but extraordinary in their commitment to the Word of God and the will of God and the ways of God as expressed in these verses. I have some extraordinary sisters who love the Lord, and in their own way, they have done this and continue to do it as a good mom does throughout all the stages of her life and all the stages of the lives of their children. We have some amazing, extraordinary women in this church, in this ministry, who live these words before us. And I kind of feel very selfish that in terms of that bell curve, yeah, that seems like, man, whew, I get to see a lot of what this is about and experience it. And all the children associated of the people that I've just mentioned have lived this, and oh, they are so blessed. Let's look at those words one more time. Verses 4 through 9. Now I want you to, as I read these, think about a mom that you know who's living these words out. Hear, O Israel. You know what this is called? The Jewish people called this the Shema. The Shema. Where does that word come from? Well, it's that word here. That's what the word, you can translate the word, the Hebrew word, just in English, here. So Moses is writing, listen to this, my people. Hear, O Israel, hear what the Lord has to say. The Lord, who is one God, the only God, he is one. So this is the one you need to listen to. Every day of your life, you need to listen and listen well. You know, the Jewish people took this so seriously, they would recite this. Practicing Jews would recite this twice a day and still do twice a day. They recite these words. And then they dive into the law of God as it is and as written in chapter 11, verses 13 through 22, I believe. Or 21. Also in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 37 through 41. These are words to be, now listen to God when he speaks his law, because it's describing this perfect relationship that God wants to have with you. What's the thing you're to hear? This is at the top of the list. Hear this. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Love him. What I'm about to read, I hope you hear in these words the great commandment of God, the great commandment. Jesus said, was asked the question, what's the great commandment? This is it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Do this and you will hit it. You'll be an extraordinary mom because you're loving God. And that's the most important thing you can do. And then, what's the second commandment Jesus said? What's the second great commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. And you're going to hear that in these words as the neighbor becomes the neighbor living in a mom's home. It's her children. It begins there. She begins discipling her children. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. Listen to this, the Lord our God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Moms, I know it's I know every mom probably wants to be the perfect mom, right? The perfect mom. What is that perfect mom? A perfect mom is a, you know, she, well, it was read to us today. How many of you bought a field this last week? How about this last year? How many of you planted that field? How many of you are experts in using the distaff? How many of you know what a distaff is? Let alone know how to use it. But you know, here's this description of this perfect mom. I just kind of go, some of that stuff is like, whoa. You know, if a mom listens to that, she's going to stay up till 3 in the morning after she's done buying the field, using the distaff, after she's, you know, after she's made all of these sheets and all of these clothes, and she's readied her family for winter, and she's doing all of that, and then she's about ready to go to bed at night, and she realizes she didn't make chocolate chip cookies, and so she's up till 3:30 in the morning making chocolate chip cookies, because somewhere in between that and, oh, that's right, she also needed to be she had to work on some other crafts, you know, that she could sell along the way. So, you know, what's the perfect mom? I don't know which of those items make you perfect, but I know this one puts you at the top of the list. Love God, be devoted to Him. And every day, cultivate your relationship of love to the Lord. That's going to mean that you're going to listen to Him. That's going to mean you not only listen by reading His word, moms, but you, every time you read it, you're just going to personalize it, because this is for you. This is your moment alone with Him. If you've got little children, I know that you're probably saying, where do I find the time? And those of you moms who had little children, you say, I thought I was going crazy. You know, with all these little kids, I could absolutely not keep up. They were always pulling, you know, at my coattails. How do you find time? And I remember hearing my friend Gary Basham, a pastor, who said he was in a Bible study with a number of people, a number of men, and one of the men said that his wife was at, and she was Roman Catholic, and she was at a Roman Catholic retreat, and the priest said, now, you moms know you need to spend time alone with God. And you're saying back to me, I know, I'm not a mom, I know, because I've heard you say this. I've heard you say, how in the world am I going to do with that with all these little kids running around and always vying for my attention? I just can't keep up. He said, moms, take your Bible, go in the bathroom, lock the door, and sit on the toilet and read your Bible and pray. And I know what some of you moms are, and some of you have heard me say this, some of you moms are saying right now, because the devil is whispering in your ear, you can't do that sort of thing in the bathroom. So you just say back to the devil, God, what goes up, or devil, what goes up, God gets. What goes down, you get. Got to have a sense of, and if you think that was too profane for you, you should have heard my mom. Extraordinary moms get the big picture, and they understand that the law of God that follows in these words, love the Lord your God, this number one law is all about establishing and refurbishing and refreshing a love relationship with God. They practice it in their daily lives. These commandments, verse 6, that I give to you today are to be on your heart. Commandments are to be on my heart. I have a book in my office. It's entitled Disciplines of Grace. It takes the Ten Commandments, disciplines of grace. They are, the law of God is presented to us, and it's like, this is, the only way this is going to be part of your life is if you just continue to yield your life and say, Lord, you know, I struggle with some of these things. in my thoughts, in my intentions. Disciplines, it's going to take your grace, God, I know it, to make sense in my life. These commandments that I give you today, they're to be on your heart. You get on your heart by going through the grid of your mind and your lips, through your ears, impressed upon your values. Verse 7, impress them upon your children. It's such a good thing that we have three moms and a dad that take our children out to children's church, and we've got the younger children's church. And this is all, it's happening in, it, what's the really neat thing is, it's already happening. These words from God's word are being impressed upon the minds and hearts of children before they come here to church. They are valued in the home. These children, the Bibles that they bring to church, or they have on their phones, I suppose, they are valued by these children. And there's a godly mom at home that communicates to them that these words are here to guide our lives and to change our lives and to bring us back when we've strayed away from it. I know one of these young lives. A couple weeks ago, was in school, and looked over at this elementary boy. Looked over and saw a friend that was mistreating a girl in his class. And this little guy called this friend over and said, you hurt that girl. You hurt her feelings. You need to ask for forgiveness. And I'm going to pray with you right now. Can you? An elementary student, I'm going to pray with you right now and ask God to forgive you and to help her. And so they prayed right there in class. And then he went over and this young guy who had been corrected went over and asked for forgiveness of this girl. You see, that sort of thing happens as it's at home and in the company of God's people, in the company of trusted friends, in the company of worshipers. The word of God is impressed upon the minds and hearts of children. And it is impressed upon the minds and children of all ages. Moms, whose children have long since left your daily watch care. They've long since left your home. Moms, at all stages of life, never give up impressing upon your children what God is saying in his word and what he is teaching you. You know, the amazing thing that happens is that you moms, who might think that your influence is long since gone, it is not. Because God's word is still there for you to discover, to be obedient to God, to love him with all your being. It's still for you to follow through with and to continue to impress upon the minds and hearts without nagging your adult kids, without nagging, but continue to tell them how God is getting a hold of you and how he's changing you. Impress this upon your children. Talk about it when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie it as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your heart. I saw somebody when we were in Israel, one time we were there, and I looked over down at someone that was selling these things that hold the Word of God. They were selling these bracelets that hold the Word of God and the things that they tie on their foreheads. And I thought, well, maybe I should see if I can buy one of those. They sell everything here in Israel. They wouldn't sell them to me. No, that was for true insiders. And I don't know why I didn't look like one, but they didn't sell me one. But I was able to buy one of those little things that has the Word of God in it, and you nail it to the doorpost of your house. But you see, these words go way beyond even the literal strap them on your wrists and on your forehead and nail them to the doorpost of your house. Those are nice practices, but it goes way beyond that. It's let your life that you live with your kids be encompassed with this, your mind and heart that is ever being impacted by God's Word. And whether you realize it or not, you might think, I'm not in school. And yet, God wants this transaction of the soul between His Word, His will, your heart, and the heart of your children, for that to continue to go on until God calls you home. I've heard adult kids my age and older talk about witnessing the end stages of a mom's dementia. A mom who knew and loved the Lord, and yet in that end stage, when she hadn't been able to quickly interact with family about just about anything, maybe for years, in those end days, when some music was played or somebody began to sing a hymn, she entered right in. And she was still instructing her kids where your heart needs to be all the way to the end. Moms are moms from the beginning to the end. And an extraordinary mom loves the Lord. An extraordinary mom impresses these things on the minds and hearts of their kids. An extraordinary mom, as we read words that followed, fears the Lord. An extraordinary mom remembers and does not forget where God has been, where God has taken them. An extraordinary mom doesn't forget the family stories about how God got them through some really deep waters. An extraordinary mom doesn't forget how God ministered to her in some of the darkest days of her life. And she communicates, this is how it happened. An extraordinary mom sees the fingerprint of God, and much like the children of Israel were told at the they were told when they were entering the land of promise and they were going to cross through God said, you're going to cross through the river on dry ground. And when you're in the middle of the river, pick up those stones and take them to the other side, place them there, create an altar out of those stones. And when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them what God did to bring our people through that water on dry ground, and how God delivered us from slavery in Egypt. And moms who remember what God has done, they remember and tell their kids how God brought them through. Some of you moms have stories for your kids, and don't grow weary, never grow weary telling your kids the stories about how God brought you through. Never. Though some of the stories that my mom told me literally altered my life and continue to alter my life, even if my faith sometimes feels shaky. Extraordinary moms love the Lord with all their heart. Let's pray. Listen to these words from Psalm, as your head is bowed, just listen to these words from Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8. These words that I think apply to all of us, and especially as a gift to you moms. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him. For God is our refuge. Lord, thanks for this prayer this week. Lord, the deepest impulses of my heart, the deepest impulse of my heart is to do things in order to secure your blessing rather than rest in what Christ has done for me. Lord, I pray for every mom here, every grandma. I pray that they would not do whatever they do in order to secure your favor. I pray they would rest in your favor. And I pray that the rest for their body and the rest for their spirit, the rest for their soul would be that fresh gift from you. Rather than try to perform on the treadmill of life, I pray that they would rest in you. Thanks, Father, for your gift of rest. Thanks for these moms that we've witnessed who've rested in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.